We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Hamul Casino.
Another successful U.S. Open has come and gone at Torrey Pines. Coming up later this hour, we'll be joined by Dennis Paulson from SiriusXM U.S. Open PGA Tour Radio. Break down Jon Rahm's win and what happened on the cliffs above La Jolla over the weekend. We spent a lot of time there, Woods, so it'll be awesome. A fun conversation with DP coming up at the bottom of the hour. Padres and Dodgers tonight at Petco Park. First game since their epic seven-game struggle early in the season when the Dodgers took 2 of 3 at Petco Park, but then the Padres came back, won 3 of 4 at Dodger Stadium. So currently stands Padres 4, Dodgers 3. Whew. In the season series into game 8 tonight with Yu Darvish set to pitch against Julio Urias in the opener to a 3-game series.
My God, here we go. Freaking Monday, Dodgers in town.
Yeah, it's a big week for sure.
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
No.
You can't really ever be ready. Okay, let me ask you this question quickly. Would you like to see a repeat of basically the first 7 games? Like just
balls to
epic,
the wall.
Like 4-hour incredible games, both teams just trading punches, even dramatic Padres wins, but remember how much that took out of both of them the first time they did it.
It really did.
It did. It seemed like it was like they had to take a week to recover, basically, from those games.
Most important, what it took out of us. That's what I'm going to the game on a Monday night, a 7:10 start against the Dodgers. I'm a wreck.
I would take 2 out of 3 with 3 boring games right now.
You are not kidding.
Sign up for
Sign
it.
Sign me
the
up.
Boringest games
5
of the season.
To 1.
You just win
lose
2 out of 3.
4-2 and win 6-4. Done.
No walk-offs, nothing like that.
Nothing exciting at all.
No drama. No drama at all. No tense moments.
Done.
It's a blowout.
I'll sign up for
3.
It's a blowout. It's a 50-50 chance whether you're on the receiving end of.
Yeah, and you win 2 out of 3. I mean, who wouldn't take that right now? I don't think my heart could take 3 heart-pounding games.
It's going to age me a year, these next three days.
They meet, 19 times this season. We're still on number 8. And then maybe in the playoffs. Remember, if the playoffs started today, 1 game, all the marbles, wild card game, Padres-Dodgers.
Oh, my God.
As much as I want that to happen, I don't want that to happen. I really don't. I don't. It's too much for a baseball game.
What are the chances I see the final pitch tonight at Petco Park? I see it with my own eyes in the ballpark.
I've been thinking about that for Wednesday.
1%? There's a 1% chance
I
see it?
You figure 3.5 minimum with these teams. So the final pitch won't come until at least 10:40-ish.
Oh, it makes me sick to my
stomach.
That
means you wouldn't be home. Traffic, obviously, getting
midnight.
Out then.
Midnight.
Yeah, close to midnight with the show tomorrow morning.
Sounds familiar?
It's my life.
Yeah, that's Ben.
Wednesday, maybe I'll just camp out here.
Yeah?
Just go to the game.
Paul, make it on time to work on Thursday.
Ooh.
Prop bet.
2-1 Over under?
Over under.
Has he, has he figured out the whole iPhone alarm thing yet?
I think he bought a real alarm clock.
Oh, yeah, I gave him that Amazon gift card thing.
CVS alarm target.
Target gift card.
Hey, and with the new schedule, I have been early every single time.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
It's a lot easier to be early.
Yes, it is.
Thanks to our best of hour from 5 to 6.
Early bird gets the worm.
Really is nice.
No, I there's no chance I can stay the whole game.
But,
none.
You know, with all that extra prep time, Paul, I'm really expecting big things today.
Oh, yeah.
On the Randall Report.
Same.
You're listening to the Randall Report with Paul Randall on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
You better be ready. Section 121, man. It's wild. We've got a lot of listeners.
It's lit.
They are going to give you a hard time if they see you leaving early.
What are the nearby concessions? Like, you want to run up and grab something quickly to eat. What do you got? What do you got in the neighborhood?
Is the closest.
Pizza Port.
Your wife, by the way, tweets, I will literally drive him. On Thursday. You guys are asleep in your car. I'm like, hey, come on. It's time to do the show.
Bang on the window.
Let's do the show, bitch.
Time to do the show, bitch.
Wake up.
It's fantastic.
Pizza Port is by Section 121.
Yes.
Good craft beers over there, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. We will start off in Major League Baseball. The top prospect in the minor leagues, Wander Franco, is heading to the big leagues.
But it's not Mackenzie Gore anymore. Not the top prospect in the minor league. I thought we were talking about the Padres were calling up Mackenzie Gore.
That's another segment.
That has not happened.
Right there.
Okay. My heart hurt.
Wander. Yeah. Is it Franco or Franco?
I don't
know. Julio Franco, but Wander Franco?
Franco?
Wander F.
Wander.
I don't know.
I think he's one of those guys that can just go by his first name, Wander.
Yeah, 20-year-old switch-hitting infielder. The team announced it yesterday that he is getting the call up, and he's going to join the Rays. They've got a series coming up starting tomorrow against Boston.
They just got swept by the Mariners. The Rays.
Mariners are hot.
Red hot.
In 39 games for the Durham Bulls, AAA, Wander hit .315, .367, .586 for a slash line.
Yep.
He had 7 home runs, 35 RBIs.
Excited to see him, man.
We've been hearing about this guy for a while.
Long time. I picked him up on my fantasy team. Okay. Probably worthless, but I picked him up anyway. I like to have the hot new guy on the squad. I'm excited to see this kid, though, man. The hype behind him
is about a year and a half, he and Mackenzie Gore were like 1-2 on most prospect
lists.
Yeah,
you're right. I mean, and one is clearly made the jump. The other one, being patient with. We'll see what happens.
We'll see, though. A lot of guys, even top prospects, struggle the first time up to the big leagues. It happens. Some guys take off right away, Fernando Tatis Jr. Others do not. We'll see.
We'll see. In other news, Brooklyn Nets owner Joe Tsai, he is the owner of a new lacrosse team.
This is not a new story. This is like 2 years old, but thank you, Paul.
3 years
old. I'm not talking about the San Diego Seals.
There's yet another team.
I'm talking about his new NLL team that's the same league as the San Diego Seals.
So, like, if Peter Seidler all of a sudden wanted to buy the Dodgers as well.
The Diamondbacks?
Yeah. I just don't want another team.
The Rockies.
All right, so if they did expansion into Nashville, and Peter Seidler goes, all right. Now, let's say they're going to be a National League team. He goes, all right, I'll buy them. Like, well, Peter, you already own the San Diego Padres. This is exactly what's happening. But it's
very similar.
It's not just Joe Tsai, Paul. Is it Tsai or Tai? I've heard of both.
I think it's kind of like Tai. Joe Tsai.
So this is a star-studded front office and ownership team. He's teaming up with Wayne Gretzky. Might have heard of him.
The great one.
Steve Nash, who coaches the Brooklyn Nets.
Yep.
And Dustin Johnson. They are all teaming up with Joe Tsai.
In a roundabout way, you are now co-workers with...
Me.
Steve Nash.
Yes.
Wayne Gretzky.
Correct. Colleagues. And Dustin,
Dustin Johnson. So if you like go to the Christmas party,
yeah.
Paulina Gretzky should be there.
The NLL... the Joe Tsai...
NLL Christmas party.
Probably going to hold it in Vegas. They're going to play at the Mandalay Bay, by the way, which is incredible.
It's almost as nice as the sports arena.
Just a touch. Just a touch nicer. I should go ahead and tell you guys now. Today is my last day. I'm moving to Las Vegas, and I am going to be working for this team and hanging out with DJ.
I don't get
playing golf and stuff.
It makes no sense to me.
How does that happen?
I mean, hey, good for him. I think that's awesome. Own as many teams as you can. How is that not a major conflict
of interest? When the Seals play this Las Vegas team... I mean, who does he root for?
Who do I root for? I root for the Seals, yeah.
If
the
one Aces, team,
the Las
if one
Vegas
team is
Aces,
just,
which
the
is
Aces.
Badass.
And now you can't manipulate, like, can you trade a player at the deadline, the Seals to the Aces? Like, if the Seals were in playoff contention, but the Aces, they're new. They have a really good player, though, but they're not going anywhere. Wouldn't Joe Tsai want to say, why don't we trade him to the Seals and try to win a championship here? That would be some sort of like collusion
somehow, yeah.
or something. So is there has to be some sort of safeguards, I would think.
Is that the team name? The story I'm reading says the team name, logo, and colors is all going to be announced later.
Aces.
That's the
WNBA team.
Okay, yeah.
That's where they're playing, the same arena
that's
as
right.
the WNBA.
Aces.
That would
be. Ace seemed
Aces.
Like a weird, like there's no aces in lacrosse.
No.
You can't get an A.
Are there
you
aces
get an
in basketball?
Tennis is, I think, world team tennis.
There's no aces in basketball.
But like, say the Las Vegas team has some superstar, but the team just, you know, it's a rough first season. They don't make the playoffs, but then San Diego is making the playoffs. Can he just make a trade?
Ben just said that. He bend you.
I bend you.
You bend Ben.
Oh, damn.
You bend Ben.
Damn it.
Yes.
I was so concentrated on correcting Woods.
Yes.
That I didn't listen to Ben at all.
That's amazing.
You know what? Where
is everybody on this show is what I want
to know. I know how
I
feel.
Woods. So I'm going to take partial credit.
I sort of now I understand that it doesn't feel great when you're not listened to. I'm going to try to do better in the future because.
I do not understand, though, how this will work.
It makes no sense.
But, look, he's one of the guys that's willing to put money in the NLL. I love it. I think it's great.
When you have billions and billions of dollars, you tend to be able to
do what you want.
Create some of your own rules along the way, I've noticed.
I look forward to going out and calling a game or seeing a game or whatever. It's going to be it's just cool. It's good for the game. The league is so much fun. I miss it so very much.
I did enjoy myself.
Oh, it's so
when
fun.
We went to those games.
It is such a blast.
I will say last year, which seems like 10 years ago now, when we all went out to Vegas for that Seals game, it was awesome. They did a great
best,
job. And
man.
That was a kind of a makeshift. Let's just throw a bunch of stuff together. So, yeah, I'm sure it'll be a lot of fun. And finally, your non-sports story. Not really much of a story other than I've got audio of Dave Chappelle singing Radiohead's Creep along with the Foo Fighters.
All right.
So Foo Fighters were in Madison Square Garden over the weekend. They had the first concert there since March of 2020. I believe March 10th was the last time there was a big concert at MSG. Foo Fighters were there. They've been, you know, kind of the headliners of a lot of controversy surrounding their concerts and their concert policies,
yep.
But they did.
Wait. Can someone fill me in? What's controversial about like a concert policy?
They want people vaxxed.
It's vaccinated only.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
They had like a small LA show last week that had a lot of protests, and this was a much bigger concert, you know, really back to how the Foo Fighters
the
do
Garden.
Things. And they just brought out Dave Chappelle randomly out of nowhere.
It's one thing if it's like, hey, Tom York from Radiohead is here. He's going to come out and we're going to play Creep. But I didn't know Dave Chappelle is much of a singer. I haven't heard this yet because I knew Paulie would play it.
Well, and if
he's
I'm
got a. He's got a voice,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
He's Dave Chappelle.
Give me some of that. Okay, that's enough. That's good.
No, I want to hear one more.
That's good.
Look you in the eyes. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. Actually, mad if I go to the Foo Fighters show and Dave Chappelle comes out. I'm like,
I don't need to hear Dave Chappelle singing Radiohead
at all, ever.
Now,
I don't need to hear him singing.
Hey, that's badass to bring Dave Chappelle out on stage. Just say, you know what, we're gonna take five. Dave Chappelle's got a few things
jokes.
He wants to say, and I'm like, all right, I'm okay.
Would
with that.
Would you want to see Dave Grohl get up and do like
stand-up
5 minutes
comedy?
Stand up.
Actually, yes.
Yeah, I guess if you're in a comedy club, you're like, oh my God, Dave Grohl's here. He's like, so, who's from out of town?
He walks up and he's just like,
take my wife, please.
Just flew into New York. Boy, are my arms tired.
Amazing. Yeah, they're doing a lot of, the Foo Fighters are doing a lot of shtick lately, Pauly. I know you're a big fan. I used to be a huge fan. Did you see that they're coming out with a disco record?
Disco.
Yes. Okay,
yeah.
I saw
they have an alter, the
that.
Alter ego bit. Remember when Garth Brooks did this with Chris Gaines, and it was maybe the worst thing you've ever heard. now this is kind of cool though. Their album is called Hail Satin,
It's like Satan, but
yeah,
satin.
Satin. Because of the disco shirts and things and pants and whatnot. They are going to be putting out a disco album under the moniker The DGs.
Not the BGs, but the DGs. Dave Grohl, DG. DGs.
Hail Satin. I shouldn't hate on it until I listen to it, and I will give it a fair listen.
There's been a lot of new disco albums in the last 40 years.
Disco went out for a reason. And, good, solid rock and roll band.
Everything
doing it.
Comes back.
It does.
Everything comes back around.
They're doing a lot of shtick, man.
Kind of got that vibe just with their last album, their single even. I think it premiered it on SNL, or at least that was the first time I heard it. Shame, shame. I'm like, this is just not.
I listened to the whole record. It was.
It's that fine line of loving a band and wanting to support them and expanding themselves, but then also going, you know what?
It's not good.
Stick to what made me fall in love with you guys.
It's not good. It's not good at all. AC/DC, they had a formula. Never changed it. Never changed it once. It never changed. It all runs together.
We like to constantly evolve on this show a little bit.
We definitely do, and it bites us in the ass occasionally.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? In 5 years, we may be doing business talk.
Oh, my God. There's no
where
chance.
To invest your money.
Oh, my
with
God.
Ben and Woods.
Oh, my God.
Going to reinvent ourselves in different formats.
I'll pass on that one. I will pass fully.
All tennis radio. Tony Bubbles would like that.
He would.
But that's our Rindle Report on a Monday. We have some actually big news coming out of the Supreme Court of the United States this morning as it pertains to college basketball.
What is pertains?
Pertains to college basketball. I get that coming up for you. And then Dennis Paulson will be with us. Coming up right now, let's check traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Ben and Woods, broadcasting live from the Home Loan Arrangers studio at 97.3 The Fan. Don't put your loan in danger. Call the Loan Arranger. Wrap up the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines with Dennis Paulson. Coming up here at the bottom of the hour. First, though, Woods, this is a fairly monumental story for college athletics, breaking right now out of the Supreme Court of the United States.
Okay.
They heard a case that had made its way up through the lower courts about education-related payments. A group of former athletes had sued the NCAA saying, all right, we know that you don't pay athletes. You make all this money on college football and college basketball, and you don't pay us. But you know what you also do is you limit scholarships. There's like a limit. You can only give them what the scholarship is basically worth. You can't give them anything else. There are very tight rules regarding that. And they said, come on, man. You can't do that as well. I mean, if you're going to give us a scholarship, at least you can make it a nice scholarship. You know, you can add things into it. And in a ruling issued this morning, delivered by Neil Gorsuch and a concurring opinion of Justice Brett Kavanaugh, they sided with the former players and said, you colleges, you cannot do that. So what does this mean for college sports? Well, the first thing, and I saw this tweet by Andrew Brandt, he said, it'll be interesting to see practical changes from this ruling. Schools, in theory, can now offer athletes tens of thousands in education-related benefits, like internships, nice computers, graduate scholarships, etc., without NCAA interference. There's certainly concern that the rich schools will get richer.
Correct.
In terms of, you know, like a Duke can offer basketball players, hey, come here, we'll give you this, you know, $8,000 laptop computer that goes along with your education. And the NCAA can't say, oh, you're giving them all this free stuff. No, it's education related. And that's a fairly broad term, what could be educational related.
Yeah,
Woods.
I'm sure there are coaches already figuring out how broad they can make that term.
Does a car to get from where you lived, your class? Is that
it's education related
or
it's
not?
It's not like schools haven't been doing all that stuff anyway.
True.
Now it just won't be illegal.
It can be out in the open, which is true, but that ruling came in today. So it still doesn't affect the NIL, the name, image, likeness changes that are coming, and they're trying to determine some new rules on if players can make, you know, and should be able to make money, like doing an ad
right.
for a local pizza company or something and get paid on the side for that. That's coming as well. And at some point, there may be even actual payment for players. They haven't gotten to that level yet, but we're kind of heading in that direction in college athletics.
It's basically it's free market, right? I mean, that's
getting closer to that. Yeah, they're taking off some of the non-free market restrictions that have always held back college athletes from you know, cashing in on their talent and their own image and their own, you know, brand that they've got going. They've been kind of held back by that because of the rules of the NCAA, and some of those rules just got lifted today by the Supreme Court.
And essentially, they're basically saying, look, no other corporation is allowed to act like this, like you do, the NCAA. No other corporation in America is allowed to do what you guys do, and it's time to make some changes. And I think, you know, overall, I think it's going to be a good thing, and I think everybody, you know, if you have an issue with it, I understand that as well. I see it a lot. There's something in the human being, Ben, that says, I had it rough, you should also have it rough, right? There's something in us, all of us. You know, hey, I've heard it in this business.
Sure.
Yeah, you didn't have to go struggle in Wichita to make your... Oh, you're right, I didn't. You know, I got an opportunity. I made the best of it. I mean,
I didn't get paid for my internship. I worked for free.
Yes.
Why
yeah.
should you get paid for yours?
I made $20,000 my first year out of college. You should, too. There is something in the human condition that says that and wants that for some reason. I don't know what it is.
I graduated without college debt.
How about why can't you?
And it's like, well, you know, your semesters were $700 a semester.
Or conversely, I graduated with $100,000 in college debt. You should also have to do that as well.
Yes.
Why don't you have to start $100,000 in the hole like I did, but you never make any progress? If that's your mindset, then things never change.
It never changes. It never changes. So I think I used to be of the opinion, Ben, that like, man, I don't know, if you open this up, and like you said, you mentioned it right out of the chute, the rich get richer. You know, you got a school like in Alabama, Notre Dame even, which I'm a fan of.
Sure.
I mean, they've got money to burn.
Yeah, and where San Diego State does not.
Right.
They will not probably be able to buy the highest end laptops for all the players on the football team.
And which is essentially what you're
Alabama
doing.
Alabama can.
You're buying players is essentially what you're doing. It's benefits that get players to your school other than the academics and the athletics you provide.
It's good for the players, but I think it's definitely going to end up being the rich get richer.
Yeah, I think
right?
so too.
One thing I do like about this story is how sport sometimes creates interesting bedfellows, as they say. Some of the people who we follow, like Craig Calcaterra, you know, they're kind of nodding like, yes, this is good for the athletes. But the Supreme Court justices who sided with the players are generally the ones they disagree with. The conservatives, like, you know, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh.
Yes.
Like, you know what? There is some common ground, even in this era of such bitterness on, you know, political sides, that, hey, you know what? It's nice that some can come together and there can be some agreement even from people who would generally disagree on certain topics.
That's a good point. And I don't you guys feel, too, the way that it's been the last few years, that the fact that maybe the conservative side does see, you know, that feels a little bit like progress to
me.
Yeah,
I mean, they've always been open market.
That's a thing you've always gotten
kind of on the right. And
this is,
the NCAA has very much been a closed market, you know, not in favor of labor, in favor of management. This is kind of the opposite of that. So it's kind of an interesting, I just think it's an interesting dynamic of how it all works. Now, how will it affect college sports? Will it make it better for the athletes? Will that make it better for the fans? Will it make it worse for the fans in the long run? I can't really tell you. I can't sit here and say, oh, this is great for college sports.
Doesn't it depend on who you're a fan of?
It does.
It literally.
It probably does.
You know, like you just said, if you're an Aztecs fan, are you going to? Now, I mean, it's not like they don't have boosters as well. They have people in this town with money. I mean, Ron Fowler's given money to San Diego State. I mean, if you have.
And USD.
And USD. If you now have rich boosters that say, oh, great. Now we can actually we'll throw some more money at the program. I mean, you know, yeah, there's going to be some schools, I think, Ben, that don't benefit, but I think the majority probably will.
Quickly, speaking of USD, are you putting your name in the hat to be their new baseball coach after Rich Hill left?
You know,
bring a lot of attention to the program. We'd be talking a lot more USD baseball.
Yeah, Rich Hill
took the job at the University of Hawaii. Left USD after 23 years and is going to coach the University of Hawaii.
The season just ended, right?
So they said national search is underway. Maybe right here on our backyard. No one's more passionate about baseball than you are.
I've won.
We know the athletic director who gets to make the decision.
I've won three adult league World Series. Right. Under my tutelage.
I think you could be a good recruiter. Passionate about San Diego, passionate about baseball.
We have a platform.
We do.
Now, if you need an assistant coach, I have an over 900 winning percentage at the freshman high school baseball.
There you
level.
Go.
It's not bad.
I mean, he helped produce future major league stars like Joe Musgrove came through Paul's program. Not necessarily directly with Paul, but came through his program.
But he was at the same program.
Hey, the next lefty to get drafted from USD.
I think you should apply. I don't know. Look online and see if they have like a apply here link at the USD website.
Bill is listening. I know he listens every day. He's a great tier one. Love Bill McGillis from USD. Bill, I'll do a lunch. We talk about it.
Fair enough.
We'll talk about it.
All right,
Rich
like
Hill
that.
Was a that's a tough act to follow.
It would be.
You know?
It would be.
God, I love Rich. He's the best.
I would relate to college kids. They'd love me, I think.
I think they would.
If I knew much about baseball, it'd be better.
As joking as I am, there's a drop of seriousness in it. It would be like a Ted Lasso hire.
It
hiring
would
Woods,
Woods Lasso.
Would be like hiring Ted Lasso, except you know a little bit more about the sport than Ted did.
It'd be,
you know what I wouldn't know how to do?
Anything else.
Run practice. All right, guys, we're going to go, all right, get one.
Oh, God,
and they're
practice.
Like, bro, we did this in Little League. Okay, how about, we're going to work on cutoffs.
You can figure it out.
I wouldn't know the how extreme
what's the name
it is.
Of a Ted's assistant coach? You just need a good...
I need a good number two.
An assistant, yeah.
I just delegate. I'm in. Yeah. All right, if you're in, Bill, then I'm in. I would definitely take that meeting.
Woods is USD baseball coach. Now, would it violate NCAA rules to do this show at the same time? Got no idea.
Correct.
Got no idea. All right, we got DP Dennis Paulson talking U.S. Open. That is next on Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sarah Bennett Woods brought to you by Albertsons and Vons. Got a few minutes left, and we haven't talked enough about what a spectacular weekend it was. Did some at the earlier parts of our show at Torrey Pines.
Amazing.
For the U.S. Open.
John Rahm.
2008 was amazing, obviously, for different reasons, but this leaderboard was insane.
It really was. And it wasn't like that on. We were out there, what day, Saturday? And I looked at Ben and I go, hey, you got two guys at the top nobody's really heard of. Is this a night? And my quote was, is this a nightmare for the U.S. Open? You go, no, because those guys are all within striking distance.
I just knew there was enough big names right behind that these guys will come back,
yep.
And then you're going to have this amazing leaderboard on Sunday, and that's how it played out. All the storylines, we're going to discuss them. Dennis Paulson of Sirius XM, PGA Tour Radio, going to join us after one more check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Another successful Torrey Pines U.S. Open in the books, and joining us right now on our premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline from Sirius XM, PGA Tour Radio, U.S. Open Radio over the weekend. Local pro Dennis Paulson back with us here on Ben and Woods. DP, always great to have you on. Good morning.
Thanks, man. It was San Diego hosted the players well this week, I would say.
They always seem to. I mean, this is now two for two, I would say. I mean, wouldn't you agree on a very quality major championship held at the Torrey Pines Golf Course.
It was incredible. The players to a man, I just got done listening to Taylor Zarzer's show a little earlier. He goes earlier. That's the show that I listened to on my walk, and he had three separate players speak to the golf course, maybe even four, speak to how good it was. And they were, it was like Phil Mickelson, Sergio Garcia, and Adam Scott, really three players that weren't in the mix. And you ask three guys randomly about a U.S. Open setup, and one of the guys is going to be critical. You know, they just are, and they weren't. They just said it was great. Sergio said if there was anything they could have done better, the one little thing, there was a little bit too much sand in the bunkers, and we're getting some plug lies on shots that maybe shouldn't have plugged. But other than that, that is a great setup, because that's, like, I think you need some plug lies in bunkers just so guys aren't aiming at the bunkers to keep away from getting in the deep rough around the greens. It supports the golf course better.
So, Dennis, I think I picked Jon Rahm to win before the tournament. I was certainly, the storyline was set up after his COVID positive, but it's one thing to have a storyline in a golf tournament. It's another thing to beat out, you know, 150 other of the best golfers in the world and actually do it. Kind of give me your thoughts on his performance throughout the week and in light of everything that he's been going through the last couple of weeks.
So you picked Jon Rahm like you picked the Padres to kind of sweep Cincinnati? That's
yeah, kind of like that.
Just like that. What a weekend for San Diego, by the way. We really showed up.
No, but the storyline was so surreal that there was no way you thought it could happen. I mean, just with everything, if you know all the backstory to Jon, and he proposed to Kelly, you know, on the north side of the North Course right there on the trails, and they come here, he says, about once or twice a month. I think he comes here probably 15 times a year and stays there at Del Mar and just hangs out. It's a place to get away, especially during the heat of the desert when they're in Scottsdale. And, you know, it was Kelly's favorite city, and his parents or her parents came here all the time. And Jon loves San Diego because it reminds him of home. All those things. His parents just showed up. You know, the COVID situation at Memorial. There's no way that he was going to win this golf tournament with all that storyline. And sure enough, Disney came through and wrote a great script, and it happened. And congratulations to Jon. And there was no mothers that died in the movie, which is really good to hear.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think it's now a prerequisite that every time I watch the end of a major that I weep. Because I wept when Phil won it, and I'm watching him yesterday and holding his little baby on Father's Day, and it's Father's Day, and I've got my two kids running around, and I got tears rolling down my face. It was incredible, but I'll tell you, I also was a little sad talking to Dennis Paulson here on Ben and Woods. I was sad for Louis because I was talking to my wife about this. We were kind of cleaning up the kitchen, and she goes, "All right, so I don't get it. He's done, and he was celebrating. Oh, yeah, babe, his round is done. He played before Louis. He finished. So he's got a lead. Now he has to sit there and watch, knowing this guy's got two holes to beat him." And she goes, "Ooh, no, I'd rather be the one that watch." I go, "No, I'd rather be the one with the control in my hands like Louis." And when he sprayed that drive on 17, I believe, my heart just sank for him. I just said, "Oh, man, this is..." That's the pressure, right? That's the pressure of knowing what you need to do to win and not being able to get through it.
Yeah, you know, his miss has been right. If you go back to New Orleans and the team thing, he hit a ball in the playoffs straight right into the water. He hit a couple fanned iron shots this week. And what's really weird is that when he makes a bad swing and hits it to the right, I don't visually see it. Mark Lai said he didn't visually see it. No one really sees what he does wrong. Like, when Phil hits the ball straight left, you see his legs get out from underneath him, and the ball just shoots straight out there to the left. And that's what it happened for me when I made that swing. Tiger Woods and I had identical moves on the downswing. Our legs got quick, and the club got behind us, and we just were late, and we just never could catch up. You couldn't see that in Louis' swing. And he said in the interview that he only pulled it about 5 yards. He was so in the moment that he was literally trying to take it up the left-hand side so he'd get a sandwich in his hand and hit it. And he pulled it 5 yards. That wasn't nearly a bad swing. It was just a bad time to hit a little bit of a pull. You know, I would say he probably pulled it more like 10 yards than 5 yards. But still, it wasn't that bad swing that you think that would cause him to cost him the tournament. And then 18, he made a great swing there.
He did.
Turned it over up against the breeze. The breeze just didn't stand it up.
Yep.
He hit it through the breeze, and it got just into that lie where he just couldn't go for the green. And what was really crazy, and if you guys can find the sound from us, it might even be on Twitter, the interview with Louis Oosthuizen afterwards was incredible because Taylor Zarzur was interviewing him afterwards when they did the flyover, and Louis had no idea what was going on. And the interview stops, and he goes, wow, that's pretty cool, not knowing that if he was up there, that would have been for him.
Oh, man.
That brought a tear to me
this
morning. That was tough to hear because Louis is one of the great human beings on earth. I mean, he really is truly a great human being and gracious as they come.
Talking to Dennis Paulson, U.S. Open wrap-up here on Ben and Wood. Speaking of getting your legs out from under you, what happened to Bryson DeChambeau in the last nine holes of that U.S. Open? I mean, he was there. He had the lead on Sunday. The guy everyone had been talking about, it had been playing well, seemed to have been conquering the course like he did last year at the U.S. Open, and then all of a sudden, 44 on his last nine holes.
You know, honestly, I mean, it sounds cliche and all this other stuff, but I think the golf gods just said, no, Bryson, you're not going to break golf. You're not going to play golf and just hit it all over the lot and win another United States Open. We're just not going to allow that to happen because you did it at Wingfoot when everybody couldn't hit the fairway. Stuart Sink mentioned, he goes, this golf course really didn't play that long if you drove it in the fairways because you got so much chase. You really got chase. But if you hit the rough, the ball stopped and the holes played really hard. And he plays through the air, Bryson does. And for him to play through the air like that and just getting away with all these drives, 40 and 50 yards off center, and being able to shoot a score. I mean, he hit it in the hazard to the right at number 7. You can't.
And made a par.
No, I know. And then yesterday, hit it over there again, right next to the dirt. Like, okay, that was a good way to play the hole. Let's do that again. The dog leg right, I'm just going to go straight at the green and play the hole as short as I can play it. You know, Torrey Pines has lost, what, 1,000 trees over the years? I mean, back when I played this golf course, it was pretty tree-lined, and there's about 100 trees maybe on the entire property now. And you can kind of get away with it. And the rough was supposed to keep guys from just blasting away. And he got away with it until he didn't. And he didn't get away with it big time. Coming down the stretch, and I just think that's part of it. He, you know, the shot that he hit at 17, he was already done at that point, where he kind of boned it over the green for his third or fourth shot?
Yeah.
Where he missed the green and hit it left. It really didn't matter at that point. But he just finally didn't get away with getting away with everything that he got away with the entire week. That, you know, you can't average four, you should not be able to average four or five fairways around in a U.S. Open and have an opportunity to win. And I love Bryson. We get along great. I really do enjoy his company, and we have great conversations. I play one-length clubs because of Bryson DeChambeau. It's golf's easier for me with one-length clubs because I don't practice. I just go out there, I grab a club, and I have a bag full of 7-irons, right? And one goes 135, and one goes 200 yards. It's a 7-iron every time. It's simple. It really is. It's so simple. I mean, I'm serious, and I was bad-mouthing him. You got to be an idiot to try this. And I finally said, "Wait a minute, why am I bad-mouthing something I've never tried?"
Got to try it.
Tried it, and it's unbelievable how easy golf is. I mean,
all right.
I don't practice, and I got a better handicap than I did a year and a half ago.
That's incredible.
All right, Dennis. Before you go, the million-dollar question, or I guess with the economic impact and stuff, maybe the $30, $40, $50 million question: does the USGA come back again to Torrey Pines, and when do you think that happens?
Have to. They've got one open date right now. It's about 8 years down the road. I think it's in 28 or 29. They don't have an event. And then the next year they do, so they have one open date. I don't know what it is, but I would think that we're probably going to get it in 10 years. That would be my next guess. I mean, as good as this was to watch the top players in the world just get their asses handed to them on the back nine yesterday, it was incredible. To watch all the players have that opportunity to win the golf tournament, and they took a step backwards. Brooke Koepka doesn't blink, and he blinked. You know, Rory McIlroy blinked. Bryson closed his eyes for about an hour. You know, I mean,
just Titans
players.
Falling. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy to watch that leaderboard dissipate.
I was actually taking notes because I did the post game show, and I finally just threw the pin at the TV. I go, I can't keep up. It's ridiculous. And TV couldn't keep up either,
nope.
If you really realize. It's like, why are we not seeing Bryson's tee ball at 18? Why are we watching the shank by Rory over here at 12?
Yeah.
You know, there was so much going on, TV couldn't keep up. And that's pretty hard not have Tommy Roy be able to keep up with the storyline. for NBC. I mean, that was incredible. There was so much going on that back nine. It was one of the best for a basically a two shot kind of walk on 18. It was as tight a tournament as I can ever remember for a U.S. Open and a major championship in a long, long time. It was awesome.
One more major next month, the Open Championship. Maybe we'll talk to you then, Dennis. Have a good one.
You got to know it'll hit the fairways there so Bryson can go back to blasting away at Royal St. George's.
Nice. Thanks, DP.
And that was Dennis Paulson on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Visit them today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Chevrolet, find new roads. Great performance, great tournament, great weekend. John Rahm, good winner. I think Torrey lucked out again, or maybe it's just a great major championship venue, and it's good to hear Dennis think maybe 8 years, maybe 10 years, but Torrey, they should definitely be coming back. It's a no-brainer for the USGA, right? I mean,
yeah.
They put on two. They've both been hugely successful. No reason why they won't want to come back for a third.
Golf course was challenging, U.S. Open worthy,
I thought,
all of
and,
that.
And by the way, I thought the final winning short, 6-under. 5-under for second place. You had about, 11, 12 guys under par. Everyone else at par or worse. Remember, Tiger and Rocco were both 1-under. That's where they finished at the end of 72 holes. That was almost too tough. That was perfect. This was the perfect. There was just enough birdies. They made 18 gettable for eagles and birdies, which is a fun way to end, but there were plenty of tough holes as well. I thought it was a great setup for the U.S. Open this week.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. It was so fun being out there, walking around and looking at how the course was set up and seeing those players up close, man, watching the wizardry. The shot of the tournament for me, and I know he didn't, I don't even remember where he finished, was Justin Thomas. When he was in the bunker on 8 and his feet were kind of in the bunker and he tried for 5 minutes to get a position. And he hit just one of the best shots out of the rough you'll ever see. And then he started reeling it in as it was rolling back to the hole like a fishing pole. He was holding his putter like a fishing pole. And I was standing right behind him. It was so freaking cool.
I think
cool.
JT finished 2-over along with Jordan Spieth. Yeah, they were both Dustin, Justin, and Jordan all at 2-over par. So was Patrick Reed, Sergio Garcia. You had a big name group right there at 2-over par that finished 8 shots back. Yeah, I mean, Xander Schauffele, I kind of was hoping he would stay a little closer. He finished at 1-under, just never quite got it going on the weekend after getting off to a good start to get under par. But there was just so many big names. I mean, Rory was there for a minute. Obviously, DeChambeau was in the lead and then fell off. But, you know, that was Torrey. He was playing tough enough that you make a mistake and it penalized you brutally.
Yeah, man. It was incredible. It was incredible. And you know, what a great winner for San Diego, John Rahm, the guy that just is madly,
I mean, if it couldn't be
madly in love.
If it couldn't be like Schauffele
or Hoffman,
then John Rahm's as good of a ambassador for San Diego as you're going to get. He's a billboard, basically.
Yeah.
A tourism billboard for San Diego.
He loves Torrey Pines, like more than anything. He you know, proposed to his wife there. It was just a cool, cool story, and I was so happy for him after what happened. But those two putts he made. Those two putts he made fired me up. These are not 6-8 footers. These were downhill, snaky, weird, and there's no good reason
and
for him to make them.
You want to say, was that the difference in the tournament? Well, yes. I mean, he wouldn't have won if he hadn't made them, but I also felt like he deserved to go in because he had a lot of putts for birdies on the back nine. Other guys didn't. They were all scrambling to save pars, and he kept having these, you know, 20 footers for birdie that would go just over the edge, or it's just, just a foot more, it would have gone in. It's like, I thought he deserved to make a couple of those, and to happen on 17 and 18 the way he did, what a great storyline.
Unbelievable storyline, unbelievable weekend. If you made it out, then you know. If you didn't, you got to make sure you go to the next one.
I imagine we'll have some great storylines over the next 3 days at Petco Park with the Dodgers coming to town. Full capacity Dodgers games. I mean, we saw how intense partial capacity, minimal capacity was earlier this season. Even no capacity games last year, pretty intense. Now with a full Petco Park crowd, we said it earlier, try to be on your best behavior.
Yep.
Don't make the biglead.com. We don't want any, you know, articles that shed a bad light on Padres fans.
Keep your heads about you.
Yeah, keep your wits about you as you go to the games. And hopefully the Padres can at least win a series, if not continue their run of sweeps after sweeping the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, it's exactly right. Let's show up tonight, Padre fans. Be ready, be rowdy, be loud. Root these guys.
I love having Darvish on the mound. I feel comfortable, confident.
Yeah.
He's gonna turn in a good effort against his former team.
Yeah, let's take it to these cats.
All right, it's time for our Grand Slam giveaway code word. This hour's code word is line. text line, like fishing line, to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't drive and text. Tune in at 55 past the hour between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. for code words in the Grand Slam giveaway powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better. Download the BetQL app today. You know what I forgot to get to? I wanted to... You hear Don Orsillo get to call that Yankees triple play?
Yeah.
To end the game?
They're third in a month or something.
Yeah, third of the season. Ties a major league record already. Maybe we'll play that or something tomorrow. We will have Jesse on tomorrow. It's an Incorporator Tuesday. Almost feels too serious with the Dodgers in town. But
I know.
We'll do it anyway. I'll get a word for him. Great job. Good Monday. Executive producer Paul Reindl for Stephen Woods. Future USD baseball coach Ben Higgins.
Settle down.
Thanks for joining us. Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.